In the name of Jesus, who was dead and now lives and reigns forever, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, of all the questions in life that sooner or later every person must grapple with, none is more compelling than the big one. Is there life beyond the grave? I don't need to tell you that there are all kinds of answers to that question, but at the basic level, the question only calls for a simple yes or a simple no. Either there is life beyond the grave, or there is not. Now, throughout human history, there have always been a very small number of people who assert, no, definitely not. That is all there is. You live, you die, and then it's over. I hasten to add that they are the exception, and that usually they're not even very consistent. It often happens that even the most passionate denier of the afterlife changes tune when standing before the grave of a loved one or when they face the possibility of death themselves. Then suddenly, however unscientific it may be, at least the possibility of there being life beyond the grave doesn't seem to be such an unreasonable idea. And though such a person might attribute to thought nothing more than the desire for it to be true, I think that there is a lot more to it. And that's that deep down, we all know there is something more. It's built into us, this idea that human life has purpose and meaning and continuity. God has given everyone the knowledge that there is for us an eternal existence that is beyond our present perception. Some manage to suppress that natural knowledge with limited success, but most do not. And for the vast majority of them, the simple yes to the question of whether there is life after death is simply not enough. They require more detail. If there's life after death, then let's know something about it. Where is it? When will it be? How long will it last? And what, especially what things in the present, determines its relative quality for the long haul? Every single one of the world's religions attempts to answer those questions. The vast majority, however, only give rather hazy answers. Most of the Eastern religions, for example, promise the dying person repeated iterations of birth and rebirth and death and rebirth, maybe as a human, maybe as an animal of some kind, going on and on and on until some higher state of being is achieved. But who determines how many cycles are required? Or under what circumstances the next rebirth will occur? Well, no one can say for sure. You just have to wait and find out. And really, you don't get much more from Judaism or Islam. True, there are no cycles of rebirth in those major religions. You only get one shot. But after the end of your earthly life, you'll stand in judgment, and you'll be judged according to your performance with respect to a list of divine commands or mandates. But how severe the judging will be is anyone's guess. No one's perfect, and no one knows how many of the divine mandates you can mess up before it's one too many. You'll just have to wait and see. Though Islam, as we see in the news quite regularly these days, does give its adherents one sure guarantee. If you die as a martyr against the enemies of Islam, you're a shoo-in. So if you know that your track record of keeping the divine commands is really bad, The best thing to do is to strap explosives to your body and get on a bus filled with innocent passengers and blow yourself up along with them. Then you'll wake in your own palace with a harem of 70 dark-eyed lovelies attending your every desire. At least that's what some of the learned holy men say. Others aren't so sure, and some say definitely not. So if you decide to try it, you'll just have to wait and see what happens. Well, hopefully by now, you're beginning to see the point that I'm driving at. God has placed eternity into our hearts. We know that there is a life beyond the grave, and so it's only natural that we are curious about it. Unfortunately, the world's religions, major religions, all fail to provide adequate answers. If you probe for the important details, you only get responses that are unsatisfactory, contradictory, or in the case of martyrdom, too horrible to contemplate. They can offer no genuine assurance or comfort to us in what are some of the biggest questions and concerns we all have. And there's an important reason for that. When we go into the grave is sealed. It's a one-way passage with a panic bar on this side and a locked door on the other. People go in, but they do not come back to tell about their experiences. And so there's a huge stone of silence blocking the path to direct scientific inquiry about the afterlife. And there's no one in all these faiths that can roll the stone away. And this is where Christianity stands alone. To the biggest questions in life, our Christian faith gives the most direct and straightforward answers. It can do it because the stone that seals the grave has been taken away. In fact, the central truth of the Christian faith is the absolute certainty of life beyond the grave. The whole of our faith rests upon it. St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 goes so far as to say, if there's no resurrection, no life beyond the grave, then there's no Christianity. That's why the feast of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus is the high point of the year for everyone who is a part of the Christian church. And during this octave, we celebrate our God's triumph in Christ Jesus over death, the grave, and what brought it all about: our sin and rebellion against God. That is, our failure to keep those divine mandates. Sin brought death to us, but the angel's words to the startled women, "You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here," are God's declaration of victory over sin and death. And because the seal of the grave is broken and the stone of silence is rolled away, we have all the pressing questions answered by someone with firsthand knowledge of the truth, because he's been there to death and back to life again. He who was dead is now raised to life. He answered the when and the where beyond the grave before he died, when he told a dying thief hanging next to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." How long the next life will be, he answered numerous times with equal clarity, "I give them eternal life, and these will be forever with the Lord." And to the question concerning what about the present determines the quality of life beyond the grave, he has a unique and surprising answer. All other faiths and religions of men tie the answer directly to the performance record of the individual with respect to divine laws and mandates and various purification methods. They tell you that what you must do and not do in an attempt to gain a future of blessed happiness beyond the grave. But the Christian faith says that can never work, The reason that you must face death and the grave in the first place is your failure to keep the divine laws. You die because your performance record is no good. So anything dependent upon what you do can only have the same result, death. Because this is so, it should be obvious that any possibility for an encouraging and positive answer to the question cannot be found in yourself. It has to be outside you. And so we find that in Christianity, the answer does rest outside you. You and I are specifically directed to look away from our own pitiful track records of performance and to focus completely on the holy and perfect God who has done all things for us. In Jesus Christ, he became a man and lived the perfect life that none of us could, a life that didn't deserve to end in death. But the sinless one took upon himself the sins of all and died the death we deserved. This was the act of purification and atonement that had to be made for us because none of us were qualified. But when God, who is life, faced death for his creatures, he conquered death for us and opened the way to life. And to prove to us that the way to life beyond the grave is clear and safe for those who trust in him, he rose from the dead and showed himself alive. What that does, ultimately, is guarantee to us that the answers he gives to the really big questions are true. We can be confident of it. And that makes all the difference in the way that we live right now. We don't have to worry about the unknowns that lie beyond the grave. We don't have to wait and see. Because we understand that Jesus Christ died for us and was buried in a very real sense, his death and tomb were ours. As a matter of fact, he gives us the gift of baptism to assure us of that. The scriptures say that baptism directly connects us to his death and burial. We died and were buried with him. And because he's no longer dead, we who are connected to him aren't either. We have risen from death with him. So if you're looking for proof that there's life after death, ask the person sitting next to you if he or she was baptized into Christ, and if they believe that Jesus died for their sins and rose from the dead. If they answered yes, you're looking at someone who's already living beyond the grave. They are living proof of it, and so are you. And that must change the way that we think about the upcoming deaths of these mortal bodies that we call home for the temporary moments we're in this world. It certainly did for the apostles of Jesus and those who came after them. As we look at the writings of the New Testament and the early church, we see that they stopped calling what happens to these bodies death. They no longer use the word. Instead, they refer to people being asleep in Jesus. Asleep because they are sure to wake up again. The resurrection of Jesus assures it for everyone who trusts in him, which means that those of us who have heard the declaration of victory over death have the responsibility to share it. Like the women at the tomb who heard it from the angel, we are told to go and tell those who have not yet heard, and we are still living in fear of an uncertain future. At first, the women were too startled and afraid to speak, but we know that they were ultimately overcome by the good news of Jesus' resurrection and what it meant to them, and that they hurried back to tell the others. And we too, who by faith are already living beyond the grave, have the privilege of announcing to a world of people without hope and without answers to their biggest questions, the best news of all. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.